Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. In today's episode, I am talking with Nicandra Moran of Exceptional Tax Services. Nicandra is an accountant for online entrepreneurs. And if you are just getting started with bookkeeping and just getting started with your business, this episode is going to be very helpful because we are talking about bookkeeping 101. What you need to be doing each month, what numbers are important to be tracking, and the common mistakes that she sees entrepreneurs making. All right, let's get to the show. Hi, Nicandra. I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Hi, Lauren. I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we are going to be talking about bookkeeping, which I think holds people back, right? Like it can be confusing. It can feel like, what do I need to know? So I'm excited to kind of answer some of those questions today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited to talk about it as well.
So to jump in, I would love to know how you got into business and how you started your online business.
Yeah, so I have been in business for myself for 4 years. And I organically kind of started my business after becoming a stay-at-home mom. So before children, I guess I just didn't really think that I was going to be self-employed or I didn't think I was going to be an entrepreneur. I just thought I was going to work like this 8 to 5 and grow somebody else's company and then retire. But when I started to have children, I started to want more freedom and I wanted more flexibility. And that 8 to 5 was just not giving that to me. And so eventually, just from my background of going to school for accounting and then also working for the IRS of over 4 years and now being a licensed enrolled agent, I just pretty much started freelancing in the beginning because I knew I wanted to do tax work and I knew that was like a background I was, you know, very good at. And so I kind of just started to freelance and I realized that I really wanted to grow it. And that's pretty much how that started. And then over time, I started to grow the business and working online. And that is how Exceptional Tax Services is here today.
Yeah. And Nicandra and I know each other first off because I edited a podcast that you were on a while ago at this point, but then we started working together. But what did your business look like 4 years ago? Because I mean, the online business space looked completely different. Were you working one-on-one with people from that beginning point?
Yeah, I think I was. Like in the very beginning, I did not know exactly what I had like certain criteria that I wanted. I knew that I wanted to work 100% online. I knew that I kind of wanted to freelance. So I wanted that freedom. But then I didn't exactly know all the services and all the things that I was going to be offering. So in the beginning, I just kind of started to work with clients one-on-one. And I knew I wanted it to be online because at that point I had very young twin boys and I had a young daughter and I knew I couldn't have like house calls, you know, like people coming into the house. So I think when I started to actually put myself out there and get on social media and then talk to entrepreneurs who were also working online, just like myself, I started to really realize who I love to work with. And that was online entrepreneurs like myself who primarily work online digitally or creative entrepreneurs. And it kind of just took off after that.
Yeah. And the idea of someone like coming into your house now to work with you is just,
oh
like
my gosh,
foreign.
Yeah.
So unnecessary.
I'm honestly kind of grateful for the decision because if I was a brick and mortar right now, I would have to really kind of be kind of stressed right now dealing with seeing clients mm-hmm. potentially and like what that's going to look like with the pandemic going on. So I'm really grateful for the fact that my business was built, you know, to be online, you know, 100%.
Yeah. Cause you'd just be like having to on the fly move it online. And instead you were already ready. I think so many of us are like breathing a sigh of relief. We didn't have a brick and mortar, which I feel for those people, but hopefully they'll be able to make the transition.
I hope so as well.
Okay. So let's talk about bookkeeping in the sense of like, let's simplify it as much as we can, because I think that for podcast managers, we love our craft and we don't necessarily want to think a lot about all the other stuff, right? So can you tell us what are like the basic things that we need to know about bookkeeping? If you were to have to kind of drill it down to why is bookkeeping important, could you explain that to us?
Yeah. So in a simplified way, bookkeeping is the tracking of your income and expenses. It's keeping up with what's coming into your business and what is going out of your business. It is literally the backbone of your business because it is the money side to your business. So knowing the numbers, it's really important and it's essential in growing any successful, profitable business. So something important to know is that the bookkeeping is the tracking of your income and expenses. And then some important numbers to know is the total amount of income that you're bringing in and then all of the expenses that are going out because ultimately it will help you in making financial decisions for your business. If you want to invest in other things, how much can you pay yourself and all of those other things, saving for taxes and other tools and office expenses that you may need. Knowing your numbers will help you make these decisions on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes me think, if we're doing our own bookkeeping, do you recommend people be looking at their numbers on a weekly basis or a monthly basis?
You know what? I think that if you do it weekly, that's absolutely amazing. At the least, do it monthly. Mm. I think that if you can set up some type of schedule for yourself to have just like a bookkeeping day on a Friday or something like that, where you carve out a couple of hours and just track everything that came into your business in, out, I think that it will give you a lot of clarity to make decisions and to kind of plan for things. So if that's weekly for you, then great. But I think at the minimum, you should try to look at your numbers once a month.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that this could be a great thing to do. You know, you have one day minimally a month where you like put your CEO hat on and you look at your numbers. And if you track your hours, which I've been tracking my hours for the past like month and a half, and I never thought I would, but I wanted to know like, okay, how much am I actually working? You know?
Yeah.
So if you track your hours, you can look at, okay, are my packages where they need to be for me to make what I need to make? And you can really kind of crunch the numbers once a month to make sure that you're on track.
Right. You'll gain so much clarity. So if you're working hourly for contracting, just being able to see visibly how much time it's taking for you to make that income, you can compare it to other clients that you have. Being able to see that will kind of really gain understanding into what is it going to take for me to grow the business? What decisions do I need to make if I want to be more profitable? And knowing your bookkeeping, doing the numbers, and keeping track of it will all help answer those questions.
Yeah. So I think we're so lucky to have people like you that work with entrepreneurs like us, because 2 years ago, I did not use you for my taxes and I went to H&R Block and the guy was like, had no clue, did not have any idea of what I did. The idea was incomprehensible to him. And then I worked with you and you totally got it. So I think we're super lucky that we have people like lawyers and bookkeepers and tax consultants like you that get the world that we live in.
Yeah. And thank you for that. And like, really, you know, with brick and mortar accounting businesses, it's just the wave of online entrepreneurship and even the community that a lot of us have been able to curate, like in social media groups and things like that. This is like, you know, unprecedented. So it's like the idea of a lot of these brick and mortar businesses who have clients that are physical businesses, I think it's just kind of hard to wrap their head around the online space of entrepreneurs. And so I've heard that a lot, you know, with other industries that work online, of just brick and mortars not understanding how they work online.
Yeah. Yeah. So what mistakes do you see with bookkeeping in maybe taxes, but what mistakes do you see entrepreneurs making with bookkeeping?
Yeah. So I would say one thing that I see a lot of for startup entrepreneurs or even entrepreneurs that are growing is not separating your income and your personal and your business when they become self-employed. I mean, of course, they're using their personal income to fund the business. And as they grow, it kind of still stays commingled in some way. And so I think a big bookkeeping error that I see is just not separating your personal and your business, not having just some type of business bank account that has all of your income coming into this account and all of the expenses.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. And for me, I wanted to separate it quickly because it just didn't make sense to me to have it all in one spot. You know, like I didn't want to get confused, because then if you have it in one spot too, it'd be even harder to see how much money am I really making at the end of the day.
Exactly. And then it would also make it a nightmare for tax time, because it would have to take for you to sit down and kind of separate everything to kind of figure out what exactly you brought in the business. So I think that would be a big error. And then also just protecting yourself, you know, when you're filing taxes to the IRS and wanting to audit proof, you know, your business, it's always great just to have things separated and clean so that you can substantiate anything if ever needed.
And getting a business bank account isn't difficult to do. I remember when I got mine, I heard that if you go to like a smaller bank, there would be no fees or anything. I went to a big bank and there's a fee. I think I have to keep like $1,000 in it or something. But other than that, it's like the easiest thing. If that's holding someone back, know that it's an easy thing to start.
It is. It really is. And just like you say, Lauren, there are ways to waive the fee. Like with my bank, I think you just have to have a minimal amount of like a certain amount of transactions, dollar amount a month. Like, I don't know, for example, $250 of transactions of expenses coming out. And so if you just have all of those expenses or reoccurring dues and subscriptions that you have come out the account, then it would waive the fee. So definitely don't be intimidated by setting up a business bank account. You want to set your business up for success. And one of the biggest ways of doing that is separating it from the beginning so that you have a clear intention on, you know, growing the business and setting it up for success from the very beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just also helps us like take ourselves seriously. You know, sometimes it's hard to bridge that gap between, oh, I'm just kind of trying this out, to like, no, I'm doing this.
Right.
And I'm going to take those couple of steps to make myself legit and take myself seriously.
Yeah. That energy is powerful. I absolutely agree. So just saying like, yes, I'm going to separate it, I'm going to do those things, that sets a powerful intention on just the drive of you wanting to make your business work.
Yeah, 100%. Any other mistakes?
I would say another mistake is if people are doing the bookkeeping. So let's say you are already in the business and you are keeping track of your income and expenses. A lot of us in the online space, because we are all working 100% online for the most part, they receive income from all different types of merchants, whether it be PayPal, Stripe, Square. And a lot of things that I see is that if someone is paid from PayPal, they will only claim the amount after the fee. So let's say PayPal took out $5. So instead of them claiming $100 as gross income, they'll only claim $95. So just being able to understand that you have to account for the entire gross amount of the amount that you've made in income. And then the merchant fees are an actual deduction on the tax return. So I would say that that would be a bookkeeping error, which is important because if you were to ever be issued a 1099 from PayPal or Stripe, it wouldn't match what you claimed on the tax return. You would be claiming the net amount, and then PayPal or Stripe would be claiming the gross amount. And then it could trigger a underreporter notice to show that you're underreporting your income when really you didn't. It's just you were looking at the net amount and not the gross amount. So to me, that's a really big error because so many of us get paid from these merchants. And so we just have to be mindful to count the full amount and then use the merchant fees as an actual deduction. So that would be a bookkeeping error that I've seen.
Yeah, no, that's really good. That's really good to know because you're right. Like we could easily just with our bookkeeping, just look at our bank account and see how much money is coming in versus how much are we charging.
Right. Absolutely.
So speaking of taxes, and I'm sure this is like the number one question you ever get, but how much do you recommend people be setting aside for taxes?
I think that it does depend on a lot of different factors. So it'll depend on your filing status, if you're single or if you're married. It will depend on how many dependents you may have or other types of situations that can affect the tax return. But in general, you should try to save 25 to 30% for taxes. So as a rule of thumb, you can withhold this amount every month, every quarter, and save that for taxes so that, you know, you can prevent from owing any type of potential balance.
Yeah. And I'm sure that we probably have other tax questions, but I didn't want to get too far into it because I know that almost half the people listening to this aren't in the United States. So then it's like, there's so many variables that I'm like, you know what, let's just talk about bookkeeping. Let's get our bookkeeping in order.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so when should we go from doing DIY bookkeeping to hiring this out?
That's a very good question, and it's very common. It really just depends on your comfort level. So pretty much you need to assess where you currently are in your bookkeeping. So are you maintaining it? Is it really behind? Is it frustrating for you? So you also need to kind of assess a bit of your personality and then what the task is at hand. So I always tell my clients or anyone that you should assess where your comfort level is and then outsource it when you're ready. So some people may be ready quicker than others. You know, it just may be something that they're either just not doing or they just, you know, just don't seem to have an interest in. And they may choose to outsource it earlier than someone else who may have an actual system. So I would say that if you have a system set up, whether it be an accounting software or if you're just using Microsoft Excel, both of those things are perfect. So using those things to keep track of what's coming into your business and going out is really good. And I would say that if it comes to the point that it's just a time suck, it's taking a lot of your time and you find yourself consumed with it when you could be doing things to focus on growing the business, then you should consider outsourcing it. So I would say comfort level, and then also a bit of if it's consuming your time to the point where it's just probably easier for you to outsource it to get the time that you need where you could be working in your business to grow it.
Yeah, I like that. What kind of like report would we expect to get from like working with you or another bookkeeper? What would we get each month about our numbers?
So generally, a lot of bookkeepers that you may work with on a monthly basis are probably going to give you 1 to 3 financial reports. The important ones that I see a lot and even within my business are the profit and loss statement. So that is just going to show the total amount of what you brought in sales for the month. And then it will have all of the expenses broken down by category, which shows you your net profit or loss for the month. So that would be the first financial statement. But then there are also others. There's the balance sheet, which shows the balances in your bank accounts and any credit cards or liabilities. And then also there's a statement of cash flows, which shows the snapshot of your business, the amount of sales you brought in, how much money was taken out of the business. So I would say those are 3 very important reports. If you are using an accounting software, you would be able to pull all of those If you're using Microsoft Excel, you can definitely create your own profit and loss just by taking all of your sales month to month and adding that all up, and then setting the categories that you have for your business in your industry, and then adding those up to get the final numbers. So either of those would be good.
That's really helpful. And then we can use those reports at the end of the month, like we kind of said, to look at how everything was running that month and then make decisions in our business for the next months.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also you can use the reports to help assess paying yourself. So, you know, by you knowing how much you've brought in the business and you being able to financially look at that every month, you can say, okay, well, I can pay myself this amount a month. I can save this amount for taxes, or I can put this amount aside for operating expenses. So this kind of goes back to the profit first type of business, where you just set up a structured percentage amount of what should go to your operating expenses, what should go to your personal pay, and then, you know, the other categories. But basically, it's just a system to kind of help organize yourself and then also kind of help pay yourself. So knowing those numbers are crucial, because you'll be able to make decisions such as that and also set aside money for other things in your business and out your business.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you about profit first. I started doing that when I kind of first started my business, and now I've kind of found a mix of how to do it for myself. But the profit first method definitely helps with like pointing your money in a certain direction, rather than it being the end of the month and seeing, oh, I spent all my money.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. So I like profit first, because it showed me how much I could pay myself. And I was paying myself 50% for a while, but now I've just decided to like give myself a salary, because I liked the consistent number versus profit first. The numbers aren't the same necessarily each month.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's a good method to use, because it'll also kind of help you control the expenses, especially in the beginning of the business. Because if you are allocating a certain percentage towards the business, you can choose, you know, to say, well, this is all that I have for operating expenses this month, and I'm not going to spend over that. So it also kind of helps the business stay in the green, you know, in a sense, because you're not overextending yourself or overspending in your business. So I think that's also really good for startup entrepreneurs who kind of need a structured budget in a sense. And I think Profit First does that. So yeah, I think it's helped a lot of entrepreneurs, and people have found ways to kind of tweak it, take just certain things out of it, and then make it their own. And I think that's great as well.
Yeah. And it's a pretty easy like method to learn. I had the intention of reading the book.
Yeah.
But I have Audible, and I'm like, I'm not listening to this book. Like, it probably, you know, there's just certain books that like you cannot listen to.
Yeah. But I still learned.
Yeah. I still learned it. So it is a book for anyone that hasn't heard of it. So check the book out if that's your thing. But there's other ways to learn this method. And I agree. I felt like it was really powerful for me in the beginning to say, okay, I forget what it was, but like, let's say 25% goes to operating costs, and I'm not going to go over that, because a lot of us in this space, we want to make a profit. We're not just starting a business and hope to make a profit in a year. No way. So we need to be intentional about where our money's going from day one. And I mean, I'm sure every business owner feels that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think anyone who is looking for kind of a way to kind of structure what's going into your business and how you're going to plan for your operating expenses and taxes and all of that, I think Profit First is a great system to implement, and it will definitely help aid you in making those good decisions and not overspending in the business.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay. So I know that you have a DIY program that is open. So tell us about this.
Yeah, I have a brand new, it's like a coaching type program And basically, I wanted to fill a need for the people who are not necessarily ready to outsource their bookkeeping, but they still understand that bookkeeping is essential to growing their business and they still need that help. So the course is kind of structured around first teaching you to be able to do it yourself if you don't already know. So if you don't know how to do it, it teaches you how to set it up. It gives you the options of what you can do based on your learning style. And then it also teaches you just any kind of basic business fundamentals as well for any successful business. And then along with that, it has a support. So it has like a coaching support program that kind of pretty much helps you stay accountable. And then it also helps with setting the things up yourself, because it's easy for you just to purchase a course and then just be expected to do all the things. But I think a lot of times we love those courses, but it's kind of hard to implement a lot of that. So the whole idea behind the coaching part is just to kind of give you that boost to be able to really do what the course was in, what the product was intended to do, which was for you to create a bookkeeping system for your business and stick with it. So yeah, I'm excited about it. It's new and it was a need that a lot of my clients have asked for.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like that accountability. Number one, the accountability just in bookkeeping. I think that's huge, because if we can just do it for a couple of months, then we can get into a rhythm, make it a habit.
Yes. And then it's there. Right.
Also just the accountability with when you buy a course with no support. I am in that position right now where it's like, I need to get to that. I need to get to that. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be so important, is you just being in someone's ear saying, okay, this is what we're doing. You know, you're here, we're doing this together. So I love that.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. And I think that it's going to help so many entrepreneurs just to be able to tackle it on their own. And then, you know, they can continue to do it on their own because they understand what to do, what their monthly tasks are, and what's required of them to be able to run that side of the business. And I think it will give them a lot of clarity, you know, to be able to further grow the business and make good decisions because they know their numbers.
Yeah. Do you need anything before joining this program? Like, do you need a business bank account, or do you need any sort of?
No, you don't need anything. You don't need anything. And really, that's the great part about it, because you don't know what you don't know. And so that's what I plan to teach you. So you can come with absolutely zero knowledge, but only a dream to have a business. And I will give you the backbone to the money side so that you can take that information and be proactive to do what you have to do to keep the business successful.
Yeah. So smart. How can we find the program, and where can we find you?
So you can find the program on my website. It's www.exceptionaltaxservices.com. And it's under the bookkeeping tab. You will be able to see it. I have all types of bookkeeping options, but the DIY one will be there for you to look at if you would like to join. And then also, if you want to find me on Facebook, I am on Exceptional Tax Services LLC. And then I am also on Instagram at Jess Nicandra Moran. So I'm more of a Facebook girl, but I am on Instagram as well. So you can find me on either of those.
Awesome. Nicandra, thank you so much for coming on. I just think it's great to talk to someone about this, because then you're like, okay, great. What you're saying makes sense. I can do this. So I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton, or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook. And let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.